Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, things are good. At least they feel that way. One practice in the book, the third phase of OTAs. And just a fun time down there. Man, it was ever hot today. Zero cloud coverage, no breeze. But that's something that you should be able to use as a football team to your advantage. Each and every one of these practices. As you move through the course of May into June, then the break for about 5 weeks, maybe 5.5, 6 weeks before training camp 2019 officially gets underway. Glad you're with us into the night. I am your host, Rick Ballew, typically 7 to 9. They push me back an hour till 8 so the ladies from Helmets and Heels can provide to you their expertise on what they were able to see today during Jaguars minicamp, or in this case, the OTAs. And I just love it. I mean, I just absolutely love watching practice. And I wish I knew why, because I've said it many times over, football practice as a player was just awful. I mean, it truly was. It was the worst. And, you know, I only did it up until the high school level, but it was nothing fun about high school practice. And I would have much rather have practiced in days like today where it was hot. And, you know, that was something that was certainly very positive and should be something that is an advantage for this football team compared to being out there where I was in, you know, the outskirts of Boston. By the time it's September, it's freezing. And then you continue to play through October and November. And, you know, you had a Lombardi-esque, hard-ass coach who, you know, you couldn't wear a jacket, so you had to be out there with short sleeves on, even though it was 20 degrees, because you had to prove to your coach that you were a man, even though, looking back on it, it's really idiotic. There's nothing good about football practice. Hockey practice is fun. Baseball practice is fun. Hanging out, shagging fly balls, taking some rips, taking a couple of grounders at first. I am a lefty. Hockey practice was always fun. Unless you lost, then maybe your coach would skate you and skate you and skate you and go through the situation where he wouldn't even allow a puck to drop on the ice. Yeah, that could be difficult at times. But football practice? Oh, my gosh. I mean, even some of the greatest football players I've ever talked to, I think publicly they may say, yeah, like Yannick Ngakoue today, how he really wants to be out there. How this is what he does. It's his profession. Loves the game, loves the practice. Privately, I don't know if I've met anyone who really enjoys practice when it comes to the sport of football. Yet, now when I'm a member of the esteemed media, there's nothing I enjoy more than going out there and watch these guys have at it. And that was a very good day today. The headline was certainly Yannick Ngakoue, who showed up. It was somewhat of a surprise. I know we got that information yesterday and discussed it a little bit on Monday. He said about everything that you could possibly want a superstar on the verge of an enormous contract to say. I mean, what more could you possibly ask for from Yannick Ngakoue? And I'll tell you what, there's a push from the other side. There's a lot of people right now around the National Football League who are saying, why is he there? Why would he even risk it? Okay? You had an injury yesterday with Reuben Foster. You had Nick Bosa, the second player selected in this year's draft, went number 2 overall to San Francisco, went down today with an injured right hamstring. He's going to make $2 million. Hey, that's great money to you. That's great money to me. But if you look at the money that has been paid right now to pass rush defensive ends and top-notch defensive linemen altogether, This guy's looking in the range of $17 to $18 million per. $2 million is a tip for Yannick Ngakoue. Yet he's handling it as professionally and the way the Jaguar fans just have to love what he's doing despite. You know, the comments he made today, talking about leadership, and of course, I'm going to be here throughout the course of the OTAs and my work and what I've done in three seasons speaks for itself. I was surprised to hear him say he's not aware of any talks at all that are going on between his agent and the Jaguars brass. I got to believe that that's happening to some magnitude. And I don't think Yannick Ngakoue needs to tell that information to us. I think that's a private matter. Honestly, I think he handled that the right way. Now, he may be telling us 100% truth, you know, the 100% truth here. I don't know the answer to the question, but that's why you have an agent. That's why you go out and allow him to do his job. Said that he's not aware of any talks. Well, if his agent hasn't picked up the phone and called the Jaguars, that's a fireable offense. Everyone realizes that this man needs to get paid. It's just a matter of when is that going to happen. So I don't think that that is the situation where his side is waiting for the Jaguars to call him. No, there has to have been some sort of communication and somewhat of a dialogue. Now, maybe they're really far apart. Jaguars have to be careful here. I believe it's one of those situations that every day that passes, every week that passes, he becomes more expensive. This isn't a hometown discount situation. The Jags have options. The Jaguars can play him this year for $2 million. The Jaguars can slap a franchise tag on him after the season. The Jaguars witnessed two pass rush defensive ends get moved this year, and the value was pretty high. Look at what Kansas City got when D Ford left and went to San Francisco. Look at what Seattle got when Frank Clark left and went to Kansas City. It's one thing not to do anything at all and allow a guy to go and sign as an unrestricted free agent, and then you will receive a compensatory pick. The highest possible compensatory pick would be in line here for Yannick Ngakoue. So you're talking about a third rounder at the very end of that third round. But if their feeling is, got to get Jalen done, got to get Miles Jack done, there's some others coming up we want to sign, just drafted Josh Allen, we believe that this football team is going to be without Yannick. I'm just looking at the other side here. I don't think that this is going to happen. Trust me. I think they're going to sign him. I think they're going to sign him before the start of the regular season. I think they're going to do everything to sign him before training camp in August. That's just my opinion. Or late July. That's just my opinion. Now, again, I don't know. I'm just guessing here. But it makes a lot more sense for the Jags to tag him and trade him, the old tag and trade, compared to this let him walk away and receive, you know, a third-round draft pick. So I'd be thrilled about this if I was a Jags fan. To me, that was the most important message today that was sent to this football team. So many players in his position, there's not a chance in hell they would have been here this afternoon. Not a chance. And he went out and he did that. He takes a firmer hold of being a leader now in this defense. And you know, you just hope that the Jaguars, if he truly is in their plans, and I have to believe that he is, I think he's their second best, maybe right now their third best defensive player. Calais Campbell was an absolute monster last year. I'm sorry. And I know that age is taking a toll against Calais. He was a monster last year, especially against the run. Jalen Ramsey's the best player on the football team. I'm still getting Yannick done first because of everything that we've discussed, most notably the fact that his contract runs up at the end of the year. Jalen is a first rounder. The team has that fifth-year option, which they have already picked up. So Jalen's in for two more, Yannick in for one more. All right, we're going to talk about that. We have comments. The Yannick Ngakoue press conference did take place immediately after today's first OTA, which was available for the media. We'll share that with you coming up in just a little bit. Cam Robinson not here. The ACL. All right. I know a lot of people have concerns about the offensive line, which was much maligned a year ago. It was nice to see Brandon Linder. It was nice to see Andrew Norwell. Cam Robinson, no, not there with the ACL. D.D. Westbrook had a day off. Doug Marrone told us this morning at 10:15, they have communicated. D.D. Westbrook expected to be a part of Thursday's OTA. Again, they'll go an off day tomorrow. They'll back at it on Thursday. They will be back at it then and Friday. D.D. Westbrook expected to be a part of the second OTA coming up on Thursday. Jake Ryan not working out today. Still battling back from his ACL tear, which he suffered a year ago August. He didn't even play during the 2018 season. Obviously, Dom Capers familiar with him. Capers was not part of Green Bay in 2018, but was there through the 2017 season before he was fired. Of course, Capers was brought in to kind of oversee the defense now. I don't know what his official title is, an analyst defensively to help out Todd Wash and that entire defense. But Jake Ryan hopes to be back by minicamp. So he'll miss the 3 weeks of OTAs. Hopefully he's back by, what is it, June 11th? I think mandatory minicamp is June 11, 12, and 13. Lyndon Johnson in a boot today. He did not work out. Jalen Ramsey, not here. Telvin Smith, not here. Doug Marrone also said, that's it. And he did it in a very respectful way, but today he basically put out the final fire. In other words, don't ask any more about Telvin Smith. You know, you get, what, maybe 10 questions with the coach, sometimes a few more. Don't waste one of those questions on the whereabouts of Telvin Smith. He's, you know, said the right things again. They cared about him, hope for the best, they're there for him, but let's just move on. If Telvin's moved on, the team has to move on. So I don't think you're going to hear another peep out of Doug Marrone when it comes to Telvin Smith from the local media. I think the only time anything with Telvin comes forward will be one of two things. Either the Jaguars make a move first and put him on some sort of retired list or is not reporting type of list, or Telvin, you know, does make some announcement himself. He's been known to do that on about a weekly basis on social media, and maybe that creates a little something, including, who knows, maybe even returning to the football team. Those are all possibilities, in my opinion, but I'm going to stay with this. Every day that passes by, I think the chances are less and less that he is a part of this football team really forever, even though 3 years remain. You could say anything you want positively. I don't think you can quit on your team and then return a year later. I just don't think it works in a situation like this. All right, we got a lot to do tonight. I didn't even mention the name Nick Foles. Can you imagine that? I just did more than 12 minutes of radio, and I did not even mention the name Nick Foles. We talk about the quarterback next, one of his wide receivers, and I thought it was a real good day between the two. That second year, DJ Chark. Had an opportunity to catch up with him after their first workout this afternoon. You're going to hear from DJ Chark as well. All of that is coming up right here as we go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tonight's show brought to you by Remedy. They would like to congratulate all high school and college graduates looking for a summer job. Ready to start your career? Visit Remedy. Do so today. Go to remedystaff.com or go to the app at Remedy Staff. Full-time, part-time. One of the beauties that Remedy offers is, depending on where you live, The last time I checked, it takes a little while to go from point A to point B around beautiful Jacksonville. Okay, especially nowadays. The roads are cluttered. I mean, everyone drives while reading their cell phone. That's kind of the new way. You know, you're at a red light, and all of a sudden that light turns green, and maybe the first couple of cars go, but that third car ain't moving. That's because he or she is on that cell phone. You know, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards. So all of a sudden you're a football field. You're a football field now, and you're like, all right, it's time now to start leaning on the horn. Kicking him in the ass a little bit. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they go, and then you're stuck at the light again. Yeah, that's the new wave, okay? Drive with a cell phone in your hand. Make sure you're texting or tweeting or whatever while you're driving around town. Takes a long time to get from point A to point B. Over at Remedy Jobs, right where you live, check them out. RemedyStaff.com. Again, congratulations to all of the college and high school graduates. The youth of America. We are relying on you. St. Louis trying to close the door on San Jose. They're up already 1-0, 13:40 to go. First period just barely underway. Game 6, the Blues up 3-2 in this best of 7. The winner gets the Boston Bruins. Game 1 in the Hub Monday night, 8 o'clock. And we have a night off. You know what that means, LeVay? It
means hockey time.
It means hockey time with cocktails and cigars and just a whole heck of a lot of fun. Memorial Day will kick off the summer officially on Monday. In the meantime, Jaguars at work today. Jaguars at work on Thursday. Jaguars at work on Friday. As I said, I didn't even get into Nick Foles today in the first 12, 13 minutes of the program. I know in this world we all want to begin with the quarterback, right? Especially a guy that is now going to earn $88 million. I didn't. I started with Yannick Ngakoue today. I thought that was the bigger story. I'm really surprised in a positive way about Nick Foles. I'll be the first to admit, I've had my doubts. I mean, I wanted a rookie. I wanted Dwayne Haskins. I wanted the best rookie available for this football team. I publicly have wondered about Nick Foles after winning a ring and now getting an enormous contract, will he still have that drive? Will he still have that ambition? I'm not saying he's going to go, actually, let me rephrase that. What I was wondering a little bit was, would he go Brooks Koepka, holes 5 through 12? It's tough not to if you've already won a ring and you've already gotten paid. But he's proven me wrong. Tom Coughlin addressed it with Jeff and Dan Monday morning. And to see what he did again today, taking the leadership right from the get-go, is absolutely impressive. I was scheduled to talk with DJ Chark immediately after practice today. Well, it was delayed about 10 minutes because every other position group had gone in. The entire defense, the backs in the offensive line, but Foles remained out on the field talking to his wide receivers. And I overheard a little bit because I was waiting to interview DJ Chark, but I just thought from the outside looking in that that was such a great, initial landmark moment for your quarterback. Not to play the role of, I'll kind of ooze my way in or ease my way in, and I don't want to do too much too early. This team is in desperate need of a leader on the offensive side of the football field. I mean, where is that leader? Who were your captains over the last couple of years? Go back a couple of years ago, it was Mercedes Lewis. He's gone. All right, there was a little bit of leadership quality in a guy like Allen Robinson. He's gone. Allen Hurns, he's gone. All right, Leonard Fournette was a captain a year ago. What a disaster that was. Brandon Linder's the leader within the ditch, but he's a silent type of leader. I don't know if he opens up more within that core, within that group. But, you know, I don't think he's a – put it this way, they need more as far as the leadership is concerned on this football team. And, I always talk about what Malik Jackson said 4 years ago when we did a weekly show with Malik. Now, Malik was younger than Nick is now, but Malik had just won a Super Bowl in Denver, and he was part of an unbelievable defense in Denver. And he got here, and he got paid. And Malik Jackson, at that age, was probably, 25, 26, when he came here from Denver. And I remember him saying, well, I don't want to overdo it. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't want to overdo it right out of the gate. I'm new to this football team. I just can't walk into the locker room and act like I'm the leader, even though I want to say at that point he was really, I believe, the only guy on the football team who had a Super Bowl ring. There might have been like a special teamer on the club who had a ring as well. But there weren't a lot of rings on fingers in that Jaguars locker room 4 years ago. But Malik made the point that you still have to earn that. You just can't come right in and be the leader. So I kind of use that as the blueprint when thinking about Nick Foles. No, wrong. This guy has absolutely gotten after it since day one. In the classroom, Coughlin again with Prosser and Hicken, talking about how he dictates things, he takes it over, the relationship with Leonard Fournette, talking about some, cadence and doing things at the line or whatever it was that Tom talked about on these very airwaves on Monday morning. And then Doug Marrone today asked the exact same thing about Nick Foles fitting in with his teammates.
Nick set a great example with, hey, listen, I'm just focusing on getting to know my teammates. That's the first thing that you need to do. So, these players, that are coming in or even if you're a player that's here, you want to be able to open yourself up to get to know one another. And I think that's the most important thing. I think from then it goes by what you do as far as example of how you handle your business. And then you have to really, continually, try to reach out and try to touch all the different elements of a team.
Think of yourself for a moment. No matter what it is that you do, you go into a new school, you have a new job. All right. You know how there are certain people in life, I always refer to them as the say hi people. There's a great deal of them in the media, frankly. The only way you're going to get a hi is if you say hi. You know those type of people, right? Oh, they're shy. They're not shy. They're stubborn. There's a lot of jackasses out there. Okay. I refer to them as the say hi people. I know a lot of people, many of which are friends of mine, or if not, at least I associate with them. There ain't a chance in hell that they're going to say hello to me or ask me a question unless I look at them first and say, hey, how you doing? You got the same issue at your school, at your place of employment, your church, your social gathering. That's the way life is. Certain people get it and do it. Other people kind of turn the other cheek. Nick Foles is not that guy. Walking into the locker room, going to kind of stick around, wait for people to come up and approach me, kind of play that role. I got the Super Bowl victory. I got the ring on my finger. I got $88 million. You want to talk to me? You come over and say, no. Foles is like introducing himself, taking it upon him as the leader of this football team to be able to go out and do that. That is just what this club needs. And tell you what, I'm very happy that he has taken this approach. As I said at the beginning, I had doubts that he would be able to come in and do this. Now, it's very early. We just started day one of the third phase of OTAs. I think the real test will be how do you respond after a couple of losses? And hopefully there aren't a couple of losses in a row. But that's always the major test. And that's when you bring up culture and things that have gone wrong. Early on, got to be very excited about what has gone on here with Nick Foles. All right, much more coming up on the quarterback. Much more coming up on this offense. Again, things were delayed a little bit because Foles continued to talk to his wide receiving core. Immediately after the fact, I had an opportunity to talk with now second-year wide receiver D.J. Chark, and this is how the conversation went.
All right, DJ, third phase underway today. Looked like it was a good workout for you guys.
Was able to take all the stuff we learned in the classroom and the few minutes that we had on the field on phase two and put it together in a competitive setting.
You know, it looked like the relationship right out of the gate between you and Nick Foles was about as good as you could ask for. How has it gone in this very limited amount of time?
Great. You know, I'm still learning. He's helping me through a lot. Just with timing, confidence, things like that, and being supportive. So I think it just translates to practice, and hopefully in a few months it can translate to Sundays.
How difficult is the transition to go from Blake, you know, Kessler late last year, and then all of a sudden you're going to a third quarterback in really 1 year period of a time? How difficult is that?
I mean, I played with a lot of quarterbacks in my time. So you learn that every quarterback is different, and you try to work with them with their strengths and weaknesses, and they work with you. But I think the good thing about Nick is he's vocal about it, and he just after practice, before practice, if he sees something that he think can help you or something that he want to try out on the field, he'll talk to you about it. He's not scared to do it, you know. So and I think that's a big thing with him.
How about him as a leader? I mean, he's won a Super Bowl, but he's brand new here to the organization. I noticed that after practice just a few minutes ago, the wide receiver corps huddled up with him. So what's it like to, you know, learn from a quarterback who's been in the league for a number of years?
I think it's great. Like I said, he brings a lot of experience, but also he's a great communicator, like you mentioned. And he's always there to continue to help us, and he also asked for us to critique him on small things, and it's just a good relationship.
How was your offseason? You had the quad, you had a setback a year ago. How did you feel all offseason, and how do you feel right now?
I took some time off at the beginning of the offseason, but since I started back, I've been going nonstop. I feel healthy. I'm still, you know, working in this Jacksonville heat, trying to get conditioning. But I feel good so far. It's a good first step.
How alarming is that? Is it in the back of your head when you wonder about a soft tissue injury, or is it something you don't even think about while you're out there?
I don't think about it when I'm out there. I feel like injuries are something that you think about after they happen. You can, you know, do all the treatment and stuff to prevent, which I do. But when I'm on the field, I'm not thinking about it.
Tom Coughlin a few months ago said that he sees you in a role that could be like Alshon Jeffrey was in Philadelphia. I know you didn't get a lot of opportunities last year to really run deep routes, but how much do you see that being a part of what you can do this season?
I think it's going to be big. I think I still got technique that I need to work on until I'm never a caliber player that he was. But it's good to know that the front office and my coaches and my teammates had that confidence in me.
Final thought from you, DJ. Just overall, the ability for this year to expand on what you did a year ago. Do you have personal goals set out for yourself coming up in 2019?
Yes. I just want to be reliable and dominant on the field. Whatever else comes with that, comes with that. Whatever yards, accolades come with that. But I just want to be able to make my presence known for my team and for the opponent.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
DJ Chark, that was after today's OTA. Without giving anything away, because those are the restrictions that the media has when we observe OTAs in practice, I will simply say this. Foles and Chark were very active today. Now, Marquise Lee was on the side, running, but not participating, and D.D. Westbrook was not there. He is expected to return on Thursday. I thought the two had a very good day together. Three things I'm going to put out there right now for you to respond to. I'm going to grab your calls when we return, because I'm going to get to more on Yannick Ngakoue, and I want to play that at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. But I want this right now from you at 641-1010. Number one, I just gave you basically my endorsement on Nick Foles, and I told you I had some reservations just because of the ring and the money. And I couldn't be more wrong. He looks, at least early on, like he is putting in the work. And let's face it, he's been a little bit of a journeyman in the NFL. He nearly gave up the game. You look at him right now, you could see that he believes he finally has his football team. and an opportunity to be here for a number of years. So just your overall thought on Nick Foles there in the leadership element, which is so lacking on this football team. And let's get into DJ Chark a little bit. You just heard him talk. What are your expectations in year two? It was a disappointment for Chark. Couldn't get healthy, had a quad. He was used mostly for special teams, didn't run any deep routes, had some problems with drops. Do you see a situation where he becomes much more involved with this football team in year two? So let's come back and do that. 641-1010, that is the number. Also on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, at 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, getting some pretty good reaction out there on High First, guys. LaVey and I may have just had a candid conversation about it. Wait a minute. We got an update from St. Louis. The Blues. Tarasenko. Let's see here. Went short side right over the shoulder. 2-0 St. Louis, under 2 minutes to go. Blues win tonight. You know what that means? We get a rematch of the 1970 Stanley Cup between the Bruins and the Blues. That's the infamous game in which Bobby Orr scored the goal that has been posterized. And for kids like me growing up, we all had that autographed photo hanging up in our bedrooms. I still have it in my home. The great Bobby Orr on, I think it was May 10th, 1970, when he scored that goal. We'll see. Long wait, just like the NBA. St. Louis wins tonight. Game one will come up on Memorial evening. That is pretty funny, though. High First, guys. If you're joining us for the first time, you know what I'm talking about. Got into this conversation based on Nick Foles. And I think athletes fit into this category. What I was wondering was, you know, Nick Foles or anyone in that situation, you know, whether it's Antonio Brown going to Oakland, and I know that he didn't show up today for day one of OTAs. John Gruden was asked about it, whether it's, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland or just any one of these situations. You come with whatever it is that you have, your career, your legacy, what you've already done, and are you in that position? And, you know, for guys like that, you can maybe see it because they've earned it. But we were just talking about our industry and the media. I mean, it's just littered with high first guys. If you know what high first guys are, it's as simple as this. And I imagine it's the same way in your business too. A high first guy is if you're walking down the hall, and a high first guy is walking the other way, there is absolutely zero percentage that high first guy is even going to acknowledge that you are there. The only way that you get a response is for you to look at him and say, hi, or what's up? I always referred to them as high first guys. And right here in the Jacksonville media, you know, for the most part, it's a good group, but there's a handful of high first guys. I've been here since 96. I did leave for 7 years and go to Chicago. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, it's not going to change. There are high first guys out there. And I guess what I'm just trying to say to you tonight, especially if you're a youngster, as we brought up Remini, who brings you the program tonight, you're graduating from high school, you're graduating from college, you're trying to get a job, you're trying to move forward in your career. Don't be a high first guy. You are a jackass. You're not shy. You're not timid. You're a jackass. If you're that person who only responds to people when they talk to you first, change it. Take my advice. Don't be that guy. Because It's just awful. I mean, it really is. It couldn't be much worse. Yeah, I'm sure people will say whatever, and they've been saying whatever they want about me, and that's fine. But they'll never say that when it comes to being a high first guy. Those are just awful human beings. And unfortunately, there's a lot of those in the media. Not in Jacksonville, so to speak, but in the media, you know, throughout the United States of America and others. All right, let's get to DJ Chark, and we talked about him and played back the interview a couple of minutes ago. One thing I loved about DJ Chark and what he had to say is that Nick Foles told this man who's getting ready for his second season to criticize him, critique him. Again, that says an awful lot about Nick Foles, a guy making this amount of money to be able to come into a situation and say to what is really one of the youngest wide receiving corps in the National Football League, hey, don't be afraid to tell me what I'm doing wrong. And I'm looking at your responses here, all right, on social media, and it's really bad. I mean, people are just destroying this wide receiving core. One gentleman sent me another look at Nick Foles' wide receivers, and it's a bunch of GIFs. Are we going with GIF or GIF?
Oh, that's a GIF.
It's GIF now.
No, it's always been GIF. People just somewhere along the line, someone said GIF.
I have had people tell me GIF. I always originally said that it was GIF, and then I was told that it was GIF.
Stick with your gut, Rick.
All right. I was listening to some guys in the NFL Network today talk about Yannick Ngakoue. It's not. It's Yannick Ngakoue.
That's my favorite one.
Right? I mean, I party out at Mickler's Beach, right? How come everyone calls it Mickler's Beach? I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. Tomatoes, tomatoes, I don't know. But anyway, they showed a picture of trash. And, you know, here's another one. Where would you rank this wide receiver room compared to other teams? It's not nearly as good as a lot of other NFL teams. There's no doubt about that. But I also think there's a lot of unknowns. The wide receiving core really fell a year ago, but it kind of came in unison with the entire offense. I mean, you look at all those offensive line injuries. You look at the fact that you didn't have a tight end. You look at the fact that you weren't able to run the football. And then you look at the fact that you had a quarterback who was on his back all the time. And, you know, let's face it, really had a bad year. Doesn't that all contribute as to why it was such a difficult year overall for the wide receivers? If I was ranking this group without having anything in front of me, I would have to put it in the 20s. I would rank the offensive line higher. I would rank the quarterback higher. I would rank the running back group higher. I think it'd be an interesting battle as far as where the wide receiver group would rank with all of the other offensive positions. The only thing that I would put behind them on that side of the football would be the tight ends. Because, again, that's a situation there that is very unclear at this particular time. Now, whether you trust the brass or not, and, again, reading some of your comments here, both at Blue1010XL and on the text line at 641-1010, it appears to me that the two areas that this football team missed in the most was not addressing wide receiver and tight end, at least not enough. You know, Chris Connolly, a free agent, you bring in Oliver as a tight end. As far as you were concerned, that wasn't enough as far as bodies and talent at those two particular positions. We will see. But boy, I mean, I thought we would have gotten some positive feedback at least tonight, this early in camp, you know, this early throughout the OTA process after hearing from DJ Chark. Actually very surprised by what I'm reading here. So most of these I can't even read. Just how disappointed Jaguar fans are right now with that particular group. So, you know, that obviously remains the biggest question mark overall for this football team. The 96-19 DJ Chark seems like he has a bright head on his shoulders. I think he'll have a productive season. I think he'll surprise some people along with the rest of the wide receiver groups here in Jacksonville. Underrated group, got lost in the shuffle last year with the inconsistent quarterback on offensive line struggles. That's about as positive of one that I have here. The 79-17, I hope Chark eliminates most of the mental errors and becomes more calm and comfortable when running routes. I think that'll happen because of the kind of player and teammate he is. Some of these others I won't even read. If so, I'll be moved to the graveyard shift or I'll be out of a job. I'm not going to do either one of the two. And I know he was a second rounder. I'm reading these texts as if you guys, and I know it's a small sample size, but you've already given up on this guy? I mean, really? He was injured. You know, he made a lot of mistakes. He was a rookie. He was counted on last year to basically be the fifth wide receiver, and he automatically moved up to number four when Marquise Lee was injured. And he was a special teams guy that they ended up using in that particular fashion, and he did it well. And then, of course, late in the season, he was injured, came back and played in the very last game. So, actually interested about that. The 96-19 says, high first guys, typically some of those people are the ones who think very highly of themselves, which there's nothing wrong with, but they tend to have a heck of an ego. Well, that's exactly it. And that's why I kind of went through that rant a little bit. Okay? There's nothing wrong with having an ego. There's nothing wrong with thinking that you're good at what you do. There's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself and being happy with yourself. But when you come across as a high first guy, you come across as being a jackass. And there's really no other way to say it. Don't do that, youth of America. Learn from it, okay? Don't be that guy. First impression, screw that. Forget about the first impression. How about your next impression? How about do it right the next time? Maybe surprise some folks. You high first guys out there listening, shock some people. Walk up to them and say hi first and watch them. They'll open their mouth, they'll start drooling. They'll be so freaking shocked that you did it because you have that reputation as being that type of person. All right, let's get away from that. All right, let's get to more important things. Yannick Ngakoue is coming up in our second hour. We're going to replay most of what he had to say this afternoon. To me, this is the most important part of training camp or really the OTAs in 2019. This is it, the fact that he's here. Because if you considered for one second what it would be like if he didn't show up and all of a sudden information was leaking out that he was going to hold out, think about how brutal that would be. Can you imagine being in Pittsburgh last year for Le'Veon Bell or any other holdout that we've seen? Long-term Jaguar fans remember the mess with Maurice Jones-Drew. And we remember how the owner of the organization, Shad Khan, handled it and what he said in the media when he was asked about the holdout of Maurice Jones-Drew. So you don't want to have to deal with that. Yannick Ngakoue obviously did what he did today, and I thought it was absolutely just outstanding in what this young man did. So let's come back and let's bring that up as we begin our second hour. Glad you're with us tonight. We got a lot to do. We go till 10 o'clock. Then it will be Denny Thompson and James Coleman. My name is Rick Ballew. We go into the night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, hour number two coming up here on 9 o'clock. We go till 10 tonight, 31-28. Milwaukee up over Toronto, now tied at 31 apiece. Under a minute to go. To our friends north of us, or the Great White North. I guess you can make the case that Milwaukee is north of us as well. And again, about everything is north of us here in the Deep South, which is fine. It's the way we like it. Man, what a beautiful day. What a day. Could use a little bit of a breeze, but yeah, I mean, it was just phenomenal.
This is one of those fun days.
To be out there and watch the Jaguars work in the heat. And, you know, I have people telling me about Texas heat. I've talked about Kansas City coming in here. Kansas City's a favorite rolling in here. I saw some lines today. They're favored by 4. I kind of figured they'd be favored by 3. I set lines in my head. I don't have the itch, but it's something that I do. And, you know, in my opinion, just looking at the schedule, I thought that Jacksonville would be an underdog in 5 of their first 6 games. Okay. I think we went through the schedule recently. I think we both had them 7-9. I think they're going to be an underdog to KC. I think they're going to be an underdog at Houston. I think they're going to be a favorite here against Tennessee. I think they're going to be an underdog week 4 at Denver. I think they're going to be an underdog week 5 at Carolina. I think they are going to be an home underdog week 6 here against New Orleans. Just my opinion. You know, we'll see what ends up happening. And then you get to Cincinnati, and I begin to wonder, okay, could they be a road favorite? Jacksonville hasn't been a road favorite much, a lot over the last 10 years. Okay, they were a couple of times this past season. You know, New York comes in. Obviously, they'll be a favorite there. Houston and London. I think that Jacksonville, as a team that is used to going over there and playing, they should have an advantage there. I think that's worth more than 3 points. I think others out there would tell you, well, Houston's a better team. I could see that being a pick 'em in London. Going to Indy, they're going to be a dog there. Going to Tennessee, I don't care what Tennessee's record is. Jacksonville struggles in Nashville. And it's always a late-in-the-season game, and it's cold. They'll struggle there. Tampa Bay, they should be favored. L.A. is going to be interesting. You can really go back and forth there. Okay? Maybe a home favorite. Maybe a pick 'em. Oakland. When's the last time the Jaguars won on the West Coast? Seriously, ask yourself that question. I mean, who was president? It was long. I mean, I can't even go back to Obama, can I? I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I think we're going back more than 10 years. The last time of the Jaguars, and I'm talking about a true West Coast game. You know, California, Seattle, Arizona. When's the last time they've won there? And then Atlanta on the road. Just don't know. Just do not know when it's all said and done. So, you know, we shall see what's going to happen here with the Jaguars. But I think winning football games and doing so, you know, away from Jacksonville is certainly going to be a test. But interesting to see when those lines come out, you know, how things are. I hate the fact that the Jags have, you know, road games again in that particular fashion, especially those games late in the year on the road. They do have the Colts to wrap up at home, which is a good thing. You know, with 2 straight going to Oakland and Atlanta, then you come back home here, you know, I think a day before New Year's, and you get the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, that game right there, if the Colts have the division all wrapped up, could be a very interesting one for the Jaguars, because the Jaguars could conceivably still be fighting when it's all said and done for a wild card berth. I think that would end up being a best case scenario this year for the Jags. I mean, the prognosticators are telling us that Jacksonville is going to be dead last in the AFC South, if not maybe ahead of Tennessee, for 3rd best in the AFC South. But it doesn't matter if it's the boys in Vegas or if it's the NFL experts around the league. It's going to go Indianapolis and Houston 1 and 2. And then Jacksonville and Tennessee are going to go back and forth. Now, that's why that early game with Tennessee, I think, is really important this year. Because, again, Kansas City is going to come in here as a favorite in week one. And then you go to Houston in week two, where they're going to be a favorite. You're going to need that home game here week three, whether you're 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2. You're going to need to win that game against Tennessee, because that matchup on Thanksgiving Eve is a tough one in Nashville. Jaguars always struggle out there, no matter when they play. But it seems like recently it had been very cold, arguably the coldest game on the schedule. I think Nashville 2 years ago, getting ready for my 7th year doing this as a sideline reporter, it's the coldest football game I've ever been to. I'm talking colder than Cleveland in the snow. I'm talking colder than Buffalo. I'm talking colder than Pittsburgh and New England through the divisional and championship games in cold places. That game at Nashville was just brutal a couple of years ago, and I think that is somewhat of a factor. Anyway, just wanted to get into that at least somewhat. All right, let's get back to Yannick Ngakoue, because you know, this is the interesting story of the afternoon. And again, I think it's a great story for Jaguar fans. I would have to believe that just about each and every one of you out there listening who is a Jaguar fan really likes the play of Yannick Ngakoue. He has been an overachiever if you look at where he was selected. And for the moment that he got here, he has been a difference maker. He's also become a better overall football player. And with things early on where I think you can say that Yannick Ngakoue, when he was a rookie, was probably defined as a one-trick pony. And that was getting after the quarterback, and that was all that he could do. Been able to hold the edge. Now, I'm not comparing him to Calais Campbell on the other side, who's one of the best two-way defensive ends in pro football. Ngakoue is still a guy with the bend, a guy with the lean, and a guy to create havoc on opposing teams' quarterbacks. He's your guy, and he's going to get paid for that. But for him to show up today and to say all the right things is, I think, if you weren't already a fan of his, if you're not one now, then let's face it, you're never going to be one. Let's get to number two. This is Yannick Ngakoue today, asked by the media about his role now at OTAs and becoming more of a leader.
It's important because I love the game and I try to go hard every day 100%, and that's what I intend on doing. You know, and just coming out here trying to get better each and every day, helping out my teammates, trying to be a captain this year.
You know, he talked about that a little bit today. You know, I've said many times over how leadership has never been an issue for the Jaguars defensively. I still think it's a major issue with the Jaguars offensively, even though if you missed the first hour of the program, it was basically about 20 minutes out of that first hour of a glowing endorsement of what I believe now Nick Foles is going to be able to do based on his early return, which is really an A-plus in that category, in a side of the football that desperately is lacking a leader. Defense has always had it. You've had great leaders by, you know, by their mouth, particularly Telvin, all right? I think Aaron Colvin fits into that category. You have tremendous leaders by their play, Jalen, okay, A.J. Boye. We'll talk a little bit, but not a great deal. Telvin, you know, Jalen gets uptight. Jalen hates losing. Someone asked me to describe Jalen Ramsey in a couple of words. It would be hates to lose. I think Jalen comes across in a lot of circles as a me guy, as a prima donna. And then in that same sentence, people who don't know will say he only cares about himself. That's where you're wrong. If you want to say he's a me guy and he's a prima donna and he's arrogant, okay. Okay. But when you get to he only cares about himself, no. You're wrong. Nothing bothers Jalen Ramsey more than losing. Now, I can see maybe you're saying, well, that he should be here today, and that's a totally different argument, but I'm just letting you know that that's his personality. He can't stand that. All right? Posluszny leads by example. Calais Campbell leads by example. I should say Posluszny led by example. Miles Jack becoming a little bit more vocal, becoming more of a leader because he's taken over as the mic with the headset in his helmet and being now the guy who controls this defense and lines up this defense. So yeah, plenty of leadership on the defensive side. But I think there were times that early on where you didn't need that out of Yannick Ngakoue. Frankly, you had enough leaders there. What you needed out of Ngakoue was just to be a good football player and go get the quarterback. And, of course, there have been a few incidents with him where he has fallen, off the rails, so to speak. Or, he has questioned others being right and perhaps wrong all at the same time, depending on which way you view that particular episode. Highly documented. Episodes. I think the one issue that Yannick Ngakoue has had going against him is maturity and the lack thereof. There's been a few times early on in his career where he has blown his top. And as a professional, and a guy that has a chance to be the very best at his position, he needs to settle down, in some instances. But I think by the message that he sent today, he is taking an absolute clear step in that direction. If this does not say maturity and leader, I don't know what can or what will. Beginning is a lot. Honestly, a couple of years ago, seeing this guy grow and seeing some situations perhaps weren't at his best, and doing a weekly show with him that I did this past year and knowing him a little bit, I would have thought that there was a really good chance that he would not be here. Again, he's grown up, and that's a positive for this football team. Now you just hope the brass gets together with his agent and they're able to put something together. He was asked about that today, about the overall contract scenario, his agent and the front office.
Yeah, that's what I'm here to play ball. Yeah, let those guys, handle it. The front office and my agent, let them speak for it. He has experience of doing that thing, and like I said, I have experience of making plays on the field, so that's why I'm here.
This guy could make $100 million. Look at the amount of money that Frank Clark made. Look at the amount of money that D. Ford made. Look at some of the money that some other, obviously Lawrence re-upped with in Dallas. Just think of some of the money that the defensive linemen are making across the National Football League. This is going to be, there are so many intriguing issues on this football team right now. But to me, that is, right now, it is the number one priority. That is the future of Yannick Ngakoue. Because the Jaguars have tremendous ammunition on their side with D. Ford and with Frank Clark. Just look at what KC acquired in return when they made the move to San Francisco by placing a franchise tag on Ford. And look at what Seattle acquired from Kansas City by doing the same thing, putting a franchise tag on Yannick Ngakoue. So, for the record, I think a deal is going to get done with Yannick Ngakoue. I'll go as far as to say I think it gets done either before or during the month of August, during training camp, before or during training camp. I could be dead wrong. They could make him play out this year for $2 million, put the franchise tag on him, address Miles Jack, address Jalen Ramsey, address Telvin Smith, address other issues they have to address. I mean, huge numbers coming up after the year, particularly on Marcell Dareus. Huge numbers coming up after the year on Calais Campbell. Huge numbers coming up after the year on Brandon Linder. Okay, big numbers. They could elect to go in a different direction. But if you put the franchise tag on them and trade them, you're going to get something more than a third-round compensatory pick. It'll be interesting to see which way the Jags go. Again, I think they're going to get that deal done. All right, we got a lot more to do, including news and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. They're coming up next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars off tomorrow, then back at it Thursday and Friday. Two more OTAs the remainder of the week. And that'll be the case for the next 3 weeks, and then mandatory minicamp coming up on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of June. 4:39 to go, second quarter. Toronto up 52-45. Over Milwaukee, of course, the Bucks have a 2-1 lead in that best of seven. Also on ice, St. Louis now up 2-1 over San Jose. Nearly midway through the game, 11:40 to go in the second period there. That's a 3-2 lead. This series should be wrapped up. Or, then again, who knows? I mean, the hand pass obviously affected the outcome of Game 3. In sudden death overtime, I say this series should be over. We don't know if St. Louis would have won, but we do know that that goal shouldn't have been allowed. And that was disappointing. But St. Louis wins. They hang on tonight. They'll go to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Boston Bruins. That game will begin on Monday night. If San Jose wins, then we will get a Game 7, which will be Thursday night. So we'll keep you updated on that. All right, let's get to this. News and notes, Truth Teller style, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Lots to cover. Let's get straight to it. The odds are out for the 2019 United States Open. No surprise, Brooks Koepka, 5-1 odds to win it. He's not played at Pebble Beach since 2016. Obviously, there's a yearly event there in February, and he didn't play there this year. Tiger Woods, 12-1, he didn't play there either. Sandwiched between the two, Dustin Johnson looking for his second overall major. 8-1 odds. Some other notables, Rory McIlroy, 14-1. Justin Rose, 16-1. Justin Thomas, 20-1. He missed the PGA Championship with a wrist. You know, 99 of the top 100 players, world ranking wise, were at it, but he wasn't able to give it a go because of the injury. Fowler and Rahm, 20-1, Day, 20-1, and here you go. Spieth moves up to 20-1. He was a 50-1 to win the PGA Championship. He moves all the way up to 20-1. A couple of other notables here. Molinari, 25-1. Fleetwood, 25-1. DeChambeau, 30-1. Mickelson, 30-1. So there you go, the very latest odds to the United States Open, which, I mean, here we are nearly midweek. It's only a few weeks away. I mean, this week off, then they'll play Muirfield next week in Dublin, Ohio. They'll play at Jack's event at the Memorial, most of the heavy hitters. Then they'll take a week off, which I believe the tournament goes to Canada, and then they'll get ready for Pebble Beach. So it's back here whether you are ready or not. You know, I was looking at some numbers for Brooks Koepka. This is amazing. This is just amazing. Fewest starts for a fourth major. Tiger Woods won his fourth major in 21 starts. Brooks Koepka is doing it in 22. Now, he's only one behind Tiger, but, of course, the number that everyone is familiar with now is that he's actually done it 4 out of the last 8. So, you know, he was 0 for, 15 at one point was Brooks Koepka, or 14, excuse me, and now he's gone 4 for 8 I mean, that is just out of this world. It took McIlroy 25, Mickelson 70, and Elles 79. These are active golfers still on the PGA Tour. Boy, you add all that up. It's just amazing there for Brooks Koepka. Now, the other side, which is a little bit alarming, you know, Woods has won 15 majors. He also has 81 PGA Tour victories. Mickelson has won 5 majors. He has 44 victories on the PGA Tour. Koepka has won it 4 times, but overall, he's only got 6 PGA Tour wins. All right. Actively speaking, Rory McIlroy's won it 4 times. Ernie Els has won it 4 times. McIlroy has 15. Els has 19. And that's a crazy number. If you look at Koepka, only 6 overall victories on the PGA Tour. However, 4 are majors. And it's pretty cool right now that he's gone back-to-back at both the United States Open and the PGA Championship. And he's the favorite to win his 3rd in a row at the United States Open. Wow. That is scary. Brock Huard leaving ESPN, going to Fox. I like Brock Huard. He's always been good to us here on 1010XL and 92.5 with several hosts. I just think he's very good at what he does as a color analyst. He's leaving ESPN, going to Fox. He's going to be part of the number 2 team now with Joe Davis. So after 12 years at ESPN, Brock Huard is gone. Brady Quinn is leaving the booth. He's joining Fox's revamped pregame show. All right, it's going to have Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, Urban Meyer, and Rob Stone. You know, I think there's some talent there to maybe rival ESPN's game day. I believe that. Now, I travel with the Jags a lot. We fly. I miss game day. It's just not the same to me anymore. I think Erin Andrews made a mistake by leaving. I know she's making more money now and she's got more responsibility. But I think overall her niche was college football. You can't call it a mistake if you look at the purse and you're making more money. But it didn't really stick out for me the way it did with Erin Andrews. I thought she was best served for college football. All right. Fowler leaving and going into the booth. Not a huge fan. Okay. I wish that it was still Brent Musburger and Kirk Herbstreit. I truly miss Brent Musburger. You a Musburger guy?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah. I know that. For some reason, I've never been able to understand the hate for Musburger. And you know what? I grew up in Boston during the Celtics-Lakers rivalry of the 80s. And if you were to talk to a Bostonian right now, they will tell you that Brent Musburger hated the Celtics and absolutely loved the Lakers. But I go back to the days with Phyllis George and Irv Cross and Jimmy the Greek and, you know, he had a couple of televisions to choose from. He only had 2 back then. It was CBS and it was NBC. He didn't even have Fox. They weren't even around. And you just you watched the games that you had. You didn't have cable. You didn't have DirecTV. I mean, you watched the games that they put on in your market. Always loved Musburger. The game day at ESPN was phenomenal when Fowler, Corso and Herbstreit had it going on. That was when they were at their best. God bless Lee Corso. He's not the same guy he once was. He's gotten older. It happens to us all. All right? It doesn't work with Desmond Howard. I don't know what he does. Seriously, has Desmond Howard ever picked a road team to win in front of the thousands and thousands that pack a campus? The next time that Desmond Howard picks a road team will be the first time that Desmond Howard picks a road team. David Pollack, no. Doesn't work for me either. Just doesn't. I think David Pollack is good as a college football mind. I liked him when he was in radio in Atlanta. He's a nice guy personally. I think he knows and understands the game of college football. didn't do anything for me though on that set of ESPN's game day. I think you got a real shot here. Leinart, Bush, Brady Quinn, the freaking personality of Urban Meyer, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if that doesn't bring eyeballs to the TV set, you think Urban Meyer in high school, LeVay, was a high first guy?
100%.
What is the chance that anyone at Ohio State or Florida or Utah ever saying hi, of Urban Meyer ever saying hi to them first, unless you had to initiate the, hi, Urban, what's up? The ultimate high first guy is Urban Meyer. Rob Stone will anchor that coverage. A lot of talk that Juwan Howard is going to be the new head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. I'd like to see this. I love when guys go back. I do. Whether it's Patrick Ewing. I know there's been some misses as of late. Certainly Chris Mullen comes to mind at St. John's. It's tough. It really is. But, I mean, Juwan Howard's a very intelligent guy. He's got the background, including being an assistant lately. Currently, and for the last few years of the Miami Heat, just love bringing in a guy that you know if you cut him up, he's going to bleed your school. And one of the original Fab Five for Michigan. We'll continue to keep you updated to see what actually will take place there. O.J. Simpson's number is going to be given to a back in Buffalo by the name of Sonoris Perry. All right. They have not given out the number 32 since 1977. It'll be worn this year by Perry with the Buffalo Bills. Very interesting story that came about today. The Florida State-Florida rivalry will continue. That'll go now through 2022. They announced four dates. It'll continue to be played during that last weekend of November. Been talk over the years, really from both sides, that they wanted that game moved at an earlier date just because of the importance of college football and that rivalry pre-college football playoff. All right? Florida wins. They got an SEC championship game the next week. Florida State wins. They have an Atlantic Coast Conference championship game the next week. That has really kind of quieted down as of late. I think the SEC East, you know, before the emergence of Georgia over the last couple of years, has really been at the weakest point of their football in, what, 20, 25 years? I mean, Jim McElwain won a couple of Eastern titles, and they were laughable Gators. I mean, every year they got their ass kicked by Florida State. They got destroyed in the SEC championship game. And they got blown away in a bowl. I mean, Florida was wrapping up seasons by losing three straight. Florida State thinking about getting to an Atlantic Coast Conference championship game right now with Clemson in their division is like Rosie O'Donnell telling us she's only going to eat salad. Okay? Not going to happen. You can't bank on it. So keep this rivalry together. Florida State had won five straight until Florida knocked them off a year ago. The rivalry looks like this. 35 for the bad guys, 26 for the good guys, and a couple of pretty historic ties. 35, 26, and 2 when it's all said and done. News and notes, Truth Teller style, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Urban Meyer. High first guy. I need to coin that.
Got to be a Hall of Famer on that high first list.
Yeah, we need to coin that, LeVay. Maybe I'll put you to work on it. I'll split it right down the middle with you.
I'll see what I can do.
Let's coin high first guys. And we need to, during one of the dog days of the summer, perhaps after mini camp in June, maybe when I get back from vacation, have a high first guy show where we have people call in and tell us who the ultimate high first guy ever is.
We have to give our own, like, Mount Rushmore style, too, who each of us would put up there.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll think about that right now. If you don't know what a high first guy is, keep it here. Well, I'll let you know one more time before we say goodbye on this Tuesday night. Also, coming up in less than 20 minutes, you get James Coleman, you get Denny Thompson, you get the Sports Den.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, St. Louis has scored another goal. They're now up 3-1 over San Jose. 2:34 to go in the second period. The Raptors up 65-55 over Milwaukee. Tonight's show brought to you by Remedy. They want to congratulate all high school and college graduates. If you're looking for a summer job or ready to start your career, visit them at Remedy. All right. Plenty of job openings. Go to remedystaff.com or pull up their app at Remedy Staff. And remember, full and part-time help, plenty of jobs available too, close to where you live. Great people over there at Remedy. And make sure you go to remedystaff.com. All right, a lot of texts coming in. I'm going to share some of those with you in just a couple of seconds. Let's make some people happy right now. Let's give out a family four-pack. Let's take caller number four for Bobby Orr. He's my hero. This is the month of May when Bobby Orr scores. Or feed Sanderson. Or score Bobby Orr. Because we could get Boston St. Louis in the Stanley Cup Finals to relive the 1970 Stanley Cup when Bobby Orr came to the forefront. Family four-pack, third annual first pitch, benefiting walk-off charities. Celebrity Home Run Derby contest. That'll be Friday night at 5:30. Free food from numerous well-known local restaurants. And even a chance to get on the field and hit. We'll take caller number four right now. 641-1010. A family four-pack. I have participated in the Celebrity Home Run Derby the last 2 years. I will not be there this year because instead I will be with you talking about the Jaguars' third OTA. Again, they're off tomorrow, and then they're back at it on Thursday and Friday. All right, just getting a ton of input tonight from, you know, listeners asking a lot of Jaguar questions. Here's one from the 8900. Just go back in the town, pick up the station. I haven't heard anything yet about Nick Foles. Can you tell us how he did? You know, I spend more than 20 minutes talking about Nick Foles. What's kind of hard is that we're not allowed to discuss scheme, strategy, things along those lines, personnel groupings. I mean, you know, Cam Robinson didn't work today. He's being held out with an ACL. I can't tell you who replaced him at left tackle. I can't tell you who the starter at will was today in place of Telvin Smith. I can't do any of that until it gets put on the record. And Doug Marrone spoke with us today at 10:15. We're going to hear from John DeFilippo Thursday at 10:15, then Doug Marrone Friday at 10:15. We may not be able to give you the answer to those two questions until Friday at 10:15 when Marrone answers it. So it, you know, it's kind of hard for us, but I do want to highlight a couple of things today. I really gave a glowing endorsement to Nick Foles for everything that he's been doing, what he's been talking about, things, you know, huddling up with the wide receivers. I did have an interview with DJ Chark, which we played in the very first hour, where he just went on and on and on bragging about Nick Foles. It's very clear how much better of a ball that he throws compared to what I've seen there the last 5 years with Blake Bortles. I mean, it's as simple as that. He throws a better ball. And we saw a variety of things. I mean, you are aware of his game. He can throw the deep ball. Loves to throw to the tight end. Loves to throw the back out of the backfield. Loves to throw crossing routes to tight ends and to wide receivers. And I thought today was a very good day for Nick Foles. Paying attention to him. The ball looks good. The ball looks crisp. There appeared to be not a perfect day, but the knowledge of the installment of Flip's offense. It had been classroom work for the most part. And today they had an opportunity. We have a winner yet? I don't want you to still take all these phone calls. I mean, we got about 20 people calling. They want free food coming up. Who's the winner?
Now these lines are lighting up, but Wes, the lucky winner, caller number four on that one.
Wes, now, did Wes say hi to you first, or was he a hi first guy?
No, Wes was actually so ecstatic because he said he's never won anything before in his life. So he didn't know how to take it.
Yes, Wes!
He's pumped up.
Man, well, hopefully he's got an opportunity to get out there and take some wax. Friday night.
I'll put in a good word with Frank. Maybe we'll get Wes down there.
Yeah, do that. The guy's never won anything in his life, so he's a big winner tonight. Congratulations, Wes. We'll have another one we'll give out on the eve. We'll do that Thursday night. So congratulations. But no, I just thought the offense looked good. I mean, a couple of situations today. I'm not saying it because I interviewed him, but I thought DJ Chark had a great practice today. Remember, DD wasn't here. He'll be there on Thursday, according to Doug Marrone. And Marquise Lee wasn't working out. He was there. He was dressed. He was doing some running on the side, but he wasn't working out. But I liked what I saw with Nick Foles. And I thought DJ Chark had a very good practice. I thought CJ Board, okay, a youngster out of Chattanooga, taking advantage of no Marquise Lee, taking advantage of no D.D. Westbrook. I thought he had a good day. The guy that really impressed me this morning was Thomas Rawls. And he's taller than Maurice Jones-Drew, but he's got wiggle. He's got the ability to cut. He showed me some soft hands. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew got up to probably, what, in the 240 range, 235, 240. There were times when Maurice showed up fat, okay? Rawls isn't that. I mean, he is really put together. Like what I saw in him today. I really did. And, you know, I'm really concerned about the third down back. I spoke with someone today who knows an awful lot about Jaguars football, and we were discussing Thomas Rawls. And I was told point blank, he's not a third down back. And I watched him. He looked like a third down back. Just because I was told that doesn't mean that I agree. So let's just leave it at that. Reichwell Armstead, as we talked about when he was drafted, is anything but a third down back. He's a two down back. He's a downhill runner. And he's a big kid. Fournette looked good. 228 pounds reportedly. Okay? Saw a lot out of him this afternoon. Really didn't see much out of Blue. Didn't see much out of Cunningham, to be honest with you. Backup quarterbacks. Minshew. Boy, I mean, he's not big. You know, he looks Drew Brees-like, maybe Baker Mayfield-like, but without the cannon arm. Is he the future? Is he the heir apparent? Is he the guy that could someday replace Nick Foles? Or is he just another Tanner Lee who's still on this roster? I don't know. You know, I got to be careful because there's not much more that I can really say because I respect the process. Buy me a beer off the air, and maybe that'll change. Yes, and why wouldn't you buy me a beer? I'm not a high first guy, right, LeVay?
Oh, crying out loud. Not.
I mean, what? All right, so I'm going to leave it at that on this Tuesday edition, and we'll pick it up again on Thursday. If the folks missed the DJ Chark interview, how can they get it, LeVay? Tell us how that process works.
Yeah, absolutely. I went ahead and posted it on our Best of 1010XL SoundCloud account. You can find that just by searching Best of 1010XL on SoundCloud, and you can also catch it right on our website.
So. All right.
Yeah. Go get it.
Appreciate that. I'll have some more interviews coming up later in the week, and that's the way we're going to work things here as we will take you throughout the OTA process. To me, it's just great to get out there and to watch them practice. I mean, it gives us – it's hard for us because we can't just come out and say everything that we want to say, again, out of respect for the process, but just to be out there and to see football again, for me, is about as good as it gets. So really enjoyed it today on Tuesday, and again, an off day tomorrow, but they're back at it Thursday as well as Friday.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings have you covered from head to toe and especially stomach. Order your office event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
Eddie Thompson was at practice earlier today. Had an opportunity to break a little bread with him and was talking about high first guys.
What is that?
You know what that is?
I don't.
A high first guy is, it's in the media. It's in every office in Jacksonville. A high first guy is a person that there's 0% chance that if you're walking down the hall and they're walking down the hall, that they will acknowledge you or say hello to you unless you say hi to them first. Hmm. I call them high first guys. And I had a flat out PSA to our listeners and said, don't be that guy. If you're that guy right now, change. Because I don't care if you're shy or you're timid or the, you come across as jackass.
I may be that guy, though.
Really? Whoa! Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I could be. I could be. I don't really like people.
Yeah?
Like, if I know you, I'm not that guy. But, like, if I'm just walking down, let's say I'm walking down the halls here. Mm-hmm. I'm not here during the day that much.
Right.
If there's somebody that I don't know, I'm going to be that. I probably am that guy. Because I'm scared of what follows the high.
Do you have any idea how disliked I am in this company?
No, I don't know, because I thought I did, but you seem to be pretty confident you're disliked.
I am extremely,
a lot more than I thought.
I am extremely disliked by certain people. I still say hi to them all.
Even if you don't know the person.
Yes.
If you're walking down...
I'm actually only kidding. There's only a couple of people in this company that don't like me. I just want to see which way I can get you to go.
Yeah, well, you almost got me. If you're walking into the grocery store and it's somebody you just make eye contact with, it's not even, you don't even know. You're going to say hi to them?
Grocery store's a little bit different than, I'm talking about just people who are listening right now, their business, their office, what they do. There are people that there's not a chance in the world that other person, but the media, okay? You know how the media, Jacksonville's got a pretty good media base.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Pretty good dudes, too.
But absolutely.
Yeah.
But there are certain people in this media. There is not a chance in the world, whether it's you or I've been in the media here since 1996, and I did go to Chicago for 7 years. You're relatively new to the media still. You've been here.
Yep.
There are certain people in this media. There's not a chance in the world that if we're walking like this, they will acknowledge you.
Okay, no, I'm not that guy. No, I'm not that guy at all. No, not at all. I don't know. I don't know what to say after hi. That's my problem. Like, start a conversation? Like, if I say, here's the anxiety I get. Is I say hi to you, and now you say hi to me, and then you say, how are you today? And then I got to answer that crap. And
yeah,
then it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
I think
yeah.
the media actually has
Then before
helped
you know, you're
that.
Talking about ex-wives.
Right.
And yeah, yeah.
Right, telling lies. And like I think the media has actually helped me, because if I see somebody that makes eye contact with me, I will say hi now, because I don't want to log on to Twitter and hear that I was a butthole to somebody.
Yeah.
Can I
say
that?
We address a butthole?
Yeah, because now you can't say the other.
At night you can.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's after 9 o'clock. We do whatever.
All right. Yeah. You watch practice tonight or today.
Right.
So I imagine you'll be discussing that tonight.
I'm like you with whatever I can.
Yeah. Isn't it fun to be out there, though?
It is, though. It is. It was warm, but it wasn't too bad.
Nope.
You know what's kind of nice, too, is moving up and letting us move up and see the 707 and stuff like that. So that was good. But you're right. Very few things we can talk about, but what we can, I will.
Yep. All right. Denny Thompson.
All right, my man.
Right
hey,
now.
Hi.
Along with
I just want to say hi to you.
I wasn't referring to you.
Hey, country. How you doing in there? I don't know if James. I just want to say hi to everybody first.
Big
I don't want to be that guy.
All right. There he goes. Denny Thompson, him and James coming up right now. It is the Sports Den. That's going to do it for us. Again, thank you to Remedy. They brought you to program tonight. Remember,
at Remedy. Right now, they want to congratulate all graduates, whether it's high school or college. If you're looking for a summer job or you're ready to start a career, they have plenty of opportunities for you, plenty of jobs, both full-time and part-time. And I also should add different shifts. Maybe you can only work a night shift. Maybe you can only work weekends. Maybe you can only work a couple of days a week. They have all sorts of different jobs, plus all throughout Jacksonville. Live in the west side, jobs there. Out at the beach, jobs there. Out where I live in Bartram, you know, where they're building all over the place off of a racetrack road and Nocatee, all that, jobs there, okay? Go to remedystaff.com or pull up the app at Remedy Staff. Thank you to DJ Chark for joining us. The producer is Matt LeVay. I am a high first guy. My name is Rick Ballew. I'm back with you tomorrow night from 7 to 9 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.